Thank you, everyone. This is my first time to be in a PHA conference. And here's my co-presenter, Dr. Catherine Brown, and two people from Hawaii. They're my supporters. And they brought the cookies for always Hawaii with the food, so. So I'm going to present a comprehensive theory to guide organizational success at adapting and sustaining evidence-based program to promote healthy aging. So we do not have any disclosure to make. Okay, increasing population of older adults is one of the major issues facing healthcare system. And this graph shows six developed countries' healthcare spending. Comparing with other countries, the US spend the most on healthcare, and healthcare costs continue to rise, and chronic disease and part of healthcare system influence this trend. Hawaii also follow the same trend. This is our favorite slide. And this chart shows that onset of disability of healthy people is later than unhealthy people. The central line is where people may become disabled. The high-risk people who have bad BMI, no exercise, and smoke become disabled when they are around 66 or 67 years old. You can see when the high-risk hitting the central line is around 66 or 67 years old. And on the other hand, the low-risk people and who have good BMI and exercise regularly and don't smoke, they become disabled when they are around 72 or 73 years old. So onset of disability can delay by pursuing healthy behavior. In last May, 50 states received grants from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to embed evidence-based health promotion program in elder care. And Hawaii was one of the states awarded. And I think you all know evidence-based program is those already proven through the randomized controlled trial. So Hawaii Healthy Aging Partnership was established in 2003, and we embed evidence-based health promotion program, and now we are in a process of adapting, expanding, and sustaining two evidence-based programs. One is Enhanced Fitness Replicate in Kauai and Oahu, and the other one is Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. Have you ever heard Chronic Disease Self-Management Program? All of them. So this presentation, I will focus on the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. We call it Ke Ola Pono. And when I present, I call it CDSMP. It's much shorter. And CDSMP was developed by Stanford University and to empower people with various chronic diseases to control their condition, health condition, and participants attend weekly 6-week sessions and facilitated by two trained leaders, and participants are able to learn how to manage chronic disease, how to manage their chronic diseases by motivational interviewing and action planning. And these are our trained leaders. But how do service providers gain skill to successfully replicate evidence-based health promotion program? The question will be, how do organizations prepare themselves to offer CDSMP? And how do organizations implement CDSMP with fidelity? And how do they sustain these programs? So the first thing when you do research is conduct a literature review. So I did a literature review about organizational change theories. then you can see that organizational change is considered as a continuous process rather than a goal. And you see on a fourth row, last to bottom, it's called program life cycle theory. This theory focusing a lot on sustainability phase, then less focus on initiation and implementation level. Then the last row, you can see the planned adaptation theory. They're really focusing on initiation and delivery phase. So I combine these two theories. And this is how it looks like when you combine two theories. So this is we use as a framework, and then this theory explains that in initiation phase, is the process of how they learn and embed CDSMP, how they adapt program to fit the community, how they identify and examine the evidence-based program. The second phase is the delivery phase, and the process of how they adapt and evaluation strategies to collect data, whether they fully adopt the CDSMP or incompletely adopted the CDSMP. So this phase, the agency go to whether sustained or discontinued or replaced. So this stage is kind of crucial stage. So the sustainment phase is the process of how the organization sustained the CDSMP and how these five factors influence their sustainability. So the theory are saying that five components are really important to sustain the program. So this is in my brain how it pictures the theories. And this one is kind of same thing and more focus on the CDSMP activities in each phase. Like you can see finding program and licensing, trained staff, those are the things we need for the CDSMP. So as I mentioned, the Healthy Hawaii Aging Partnership started in 2003, and this timeline matches with the theoretical framework. The initial phase started around 2006 when we got the AOA grant. The delivery phase started around 2007 when we really actually implement the program. And sustainment phase is kind of now and when we ended the original grant. So this is kind of summary of our finding. And initial phase, all of the service provider used the track change tool to develop a plan. We also invited the Stanford team to Oahu, and we all got trained. And 171 organization employees and volunteers have been trained. Oh. You see the Kate Lowley in the bottom? She's the one who developed the program. So in delivery phase implementation, 20 organizations on six islands has provided the CDSMP, and we offered 103 workshops, and 829 seniors enrolled. Their average age was 72 years old, and 727 seniors graduated. And our completion rate was 88%, and we also monitor fidelity. And you know, like fidelity is, you offer the program as it says. So we monitor fidelity one session out of six sessions. And the score was rated using 4-point Likert scale, one being poor, four being excellent. On average, the workshop scored 3.74. That means we offer the program with high fidelity. And we also assess the participants' outcome, baseline, and 6 months follow-up. So you can see participants reporting more exercise, fewer symptoms and fewer healthcare utilization. So you see on the left, they spend more minutes for the strength exercise and aerobic exercise, and they also reduce the symptom, fatigue, pain, and shortness of breath, and also they reduce the visitation for physician and hospitalization. We didn't see the reduction in emergency room visit. So 20 organizations offered the CDSMP, 2 and more organizations was unsuccessful, and 4 and more organizations was incomplete. Now I'm conducting an interview with the 20 agencies, and this is a preliminary finding from my interview. And the successful organization report, they said a good fit of CDSMP with their organizational mission, and they have very supportive supervisor. They have ability to modify CDSMP to their population and their organization, and while maintaining the key components. We cannot change the key components. And they perceived benefits of CDSMP among their clients and many CDSMP champions within their organizations, and they get the helpful hands-on technical assistance and financial support from county agencies and also the state agencies. So this is kind of like summary of finding. Some agencies dropped out in initial phase. They found that CDSMP could not be adapted to fit, so they dropped out. Then some agency said they do not replicate with fidelity, and the outcome was poor, and some agency refused to allow fidelity to be assessed. And, you know, the pink area you see, some agency are perfect and have secured funds to sustain. So my lessons learned, CDSMP is adaptable to fit Hawaii with, you know, multi-ethnic cultural group. The more leaders and champions are better, according to the theory. And we need a leader in the state level for vision and leadership to provide the technical assistance. And we also need several champions at each organization. Then area process influences sustainability. So importance in or buy-in, whether the program fit with your organization, and we really need to get the training adherence to the program. And some organizations are more successful than others. Not all are successful. So here's our contact information.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to open up to questions from the audience, to our panel members.
Thank you so much. My name is Dawn Jacobson. Dawn Jacobson is a physician who works in the LA County Department of Public Health. And we're one of the health departments that we actually have an office of student health within our chronic disease division. And I'm here to learn more about what you as a community are doing research-wise. And I have one comment and one question. And the comment is for our last presenter. One hat I wear in administration is quality improvement and organizational change management. And I just really think a huge strength of your study is you looked at organizational community change management. And I think if we in public health do that all of our programs, we're really going to understand sustainability and reach much better. So thank you for bringing what I think is a great element to your change study. The question I have is for the CDC about looking at your research priorities and looking at the issue of flexibility and how the research community feels that that is not clear cut. I'm wondering if, I do yoga a lot, and I've heard a lot about, anecdotally about the benefits of yoga. And I'm wondering if that was included in your research, like if the researchers included the studies on yoga and healthy aging, or if that was left out, or if you see that as a good research niche to build.
I think that basically the people who responded to the survey felt that there was a real need, you know, to do more randomized trials or efficacy trials, effectiveness trials with respect to flexibility, including things like, you know, Tai Chi and so on and so forth. You know, they're out there popularly accepted. A lot of people are reporting benefits from participation. The problem is in terms of real strong evidence that would support. In terms of evidence-based programs, so I think what we're really trying to move is providing, what we're trying to accomplish is providing the documentation so that we can actually move towards getting reimbursement for these programs on Medicare. I mean, that really is the only way. You know, the Administration on Aging is providing a certain amount of support for a limited number of programs right now. But, you know, it's by no means a secure, you know, method of sustaining these programs into the future. So I think the feeling was that if we really want to, you know, we're paying for total joint replacement surgery now, you know, we're paying for all these things under Medicare, we're not paying, you know, for some of these really simple, you know, kinds of low-cost programs that can really keep people healthy and functioning and avoid some of these huge, you know, medical expenditures. So, you know, the consensus was that comparative, it was a comparative kind of thing, compared to what we know about aerobics, compared to what we know about strength, this is the area that we really need more rigorous research.
Yeah, I guess my question is if the researchers you selected considered the effects of yoga, I mean,
a little bit to this. The literature of Tai Chi, yoga, and there are several other of these kinds of literatures. Tai Chi is probably the most researched of that class of kinds of activities. Yoga is in the literature, but it's always embedded or more embedded in a broader set of other programmatic activities. So one of the things that makes it difficult is to isolate the relative contribution of yoga to the total health and well-being. Like Dean Ornish's program on cancer, he includes that. And when you look at this, you go, how do we disentangle that? And so when you look at this, you have a difficulty in terms of understanding what it will contribute. The other thing is we haven't seen people forward a good theoretical model as to why it would affect the health and well-being of an individual. When that's forwarded, then it's more likely to be funded to where it is examined by itself.
Yes, in the back. Yes.
My name is Gary Langley, a person who comes from medicine and super clinical translational research. And my questions are for Dr. Hughes, but I imagine that any of the panelists might have thoughts. The whole zone of translation and dissemination is one that nobody clearly owns, and we are in the business of trying to build some infrastructure to support that knowledge exchange. So in the case of your explaining how you got from efficacy to effectiveness and then implementation, can you say a little bit about what the roles were of the academic partners in getting this program out and what the roles were
One more question, and then we can, you know, stay. Yes.
I just have a short one for the last presenter, and I want to thank all the presenters. Those were excellent. My question is about the organizations who decided that the program, they couldn't adapt the program. Can you say a little bit more about why they felt that way?
One agency, they said their box said, "Oh, we don't want to adapt it to the SMC," and it doesn't match with the organizational mission.
Was that your assessment too, going in? Did you think that it didn't match their?
They actually never started with SMC. So I just talked to the people why.
And did you have that same experience with organizations not wanting to adopt your program?
No.
Yeah, we've had some organizations that we've talked to multiple times. And, you know, they just, they may have expressed an interest at some time, but, you know, we've tried to talk to them about barriers that, you know, how to solve and so on and so forth. What we found is that generally an organization that's really enthusiastic that gets it in one, you know, that we're not going to have any problems at all, you know. I mean, it's a question of how enthusiastic they are. If they're really enthusiastic, if they're really excited, you know, figure out if they're motivated and they really want to, you know, figure out how to solve these problems. And, but people who are going to say, just like your champion, right?
Okay, thank you, Susan. And with that, I would like to conclude this session by thanking our panel members.